You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the conversation, call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Excited to have our next guests join us. Sean Petipas is with the Main Street Alliance, and Abby Gilman is the owner of Little Village Play Cafe in Wauwatosa. Good morning to you both, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us on.
Sean, tell us about the roundtables that you guys are doing around the state. What was this one like that you just had in Wauwatosa?
Yeah, so we have had six planned, four have happened so far, and we had a roundtable in Wauwatosa with both State Representative Robin Vining and Representative Tom Michalski. We were very happy that both sides showed up. That is a pretty rare thing in our state. And we had important discussion about small business issues, childcare, paid leave, capital access. And we work with great business owners like Abby all across the state. And she was nice enough to host the discussion. So, we're excited to be able to have these discussions and help small businesses make their voices heard.
Abby, were you hesitant at all to host something like this? Because it's such a hot button, you know, everything is a hot button now. And I can understand where you might be like, yeah, I'd love to, but no.
You know, putting your opinion out there and your point of view as a business owner is a risky thing to do. However, as a Wauwatosa citizen and a parent of three young kids, I felt like not putting my point of view out there was an even riskier choice. So, no, I was a quick yes when Sean reached out.
So as a small business owner yourself, what are your main concerns? What would you like to see happen that would make things easy for you to thrive?
You know, as a small business owner, I think it's very expensive to launch a business, especially as a woman and a mom, and having access to capital is a huge barrier for a lot of people with great ideas that would be wonderful additions to the community. So just creating a more level playing field and providing more access to capital and resources so that people with wonderful ideas and great businesses can bring those to our communities. And then as a business owner who represents a lot of young families, we're a coffee shop and a children's play space. And so if you hear some laughter in the background, that's probably what's going on. But we represent a lot of young families. So we see so many parents coming in here with their kids because they don't have access to childcare. They're either on waiting lists that are years long, or daycare is so unaffordable. So I hear time and time again how important access to childcare is. So that's a very passionate topic and conversation of mine.
These waiting lists, good heavens, by the time you can get one of your children into childcare, they'll be graduating from college.
It's outrageous how long you have to wait. Yeah.
That's something we talk about a lot as far as like just easing the burden of childcare just a little bit. We want like helping both the childcare facilities and helping the parents. And I feel like that's something that we should all be able to come together on, but somehow still seem to bump heads. But the conversation needs to be had at every level too.
Sean, so what were the two candidates? What were their suggestions on what Abby just mentioned as far as giving assistance for the parents to find childcare? Just let's start with that.
Yeah, so I'm sure you all have talked about it before, but the Child Care Counts program was funded through federal dollars that helped provide support both to the providers to keep pay stable or bumped up a bit, You know, the average childcare provider in our state makes about $12 an hour, which, you know, you can go to Quick Trip as a college, as a high school student, and make more money than that. Yeah. So we need to deal with that side of the equation. But the other side of the equation, as a father of an 8-year-old myself, I understand that childcare can be very expensive. And so, unfortunately, the Child Care Counts program, it's not totally out of money yet. There's still 50% of the amount through July, but you're already seeing centers all across the state closed. If that program is not funded again, if we don't get back to 100% of funding, you're going to see potentially over 1,000 centers across the state permanently closed, and those people are not going to come back. If you're in the industry, like, those are going to be gone. And so it's absolutely urgent that we get this dealt with. State Representative Robin Vining has been very supportive of this issue. Representative Tom Mahosky, again, very much appreciate him coming. He didn't seem as familiar with the program and didn't get much into specifics, but we're happy to see Robin strongly supports that program.
Well, and as you said, Sean, I think it's wonderful that you got both of them to show up. That in itself is a big rarity, and that it was done. It sounds like it all went well and there were no fists flying, and that's all good. We're always happy to hear that. If you're just joining us, Sean Fetaplace with the Main Street Action Pack and Abby Gildman, the owner of A Little Village in Wauwatosa, are guests, and they're talking about the roundtables that the Main Street Action Pack is having around the state, talking to small business owners, finding out what their concerns are and what government can do to help.
Yeah.
And help them be more successful. What about the access to capital, Sean? What did the candidates say about that, to Abby's point?
Yeah, so we asked about that issue, and there's been, you know, Wisconsin has really led the way on that issue since the pandemic. About $1.6 billion were provided in economic stabilization dollars that took the form of grant programs, you know, better access to capital for folks across the state, including a grant program that is called the Main Street Bounce Back Program. And Abby, you received that. Could you maybe describe to people what that is?
Yeah, so the Main Street Bounce Back Program was an initiative to give grants to business owners filling vacant spaces following the COVID pandemic, or in the heat of the COVID pandemic, after so many businesses closed their doors. And it was a really great initiative to make sure that, as a state that values small businesses and a thriving Main Street, that we kept those spaces open and accessible and providing value to the community. So as a recipient of the Main Street Bounce Back Grant, I got a $10,000 grant to help offset the costs of building out our space, which $10,000 is incredible. It also is quickly spent in the build out of a space. So.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I think for us, as far as capital access goes, you know, State Representative Robin Vining did talk about that program and talked about the importance of it. And there's a chance to replenish that fund in the next legislature. Representative Mahosky seemed to have a view that it's not really the role of government to do those things. I would argue that things like the manufacturer and ag tax credit that overwhelmingly favors the very wealthy. I mean, if you're going to be in support of that, you should all be in support of grants for small businesses to be able to start and grow. And so there was definitely a large difference in view on that issue.
Well, the question I would have then, Sean, is if he doesn't believe that government has a place in getting involved in these sorts of things, does he then provide suggestions on where else to go? Because I know a lot of times when people say government shouldn't be doing this, charities should be doing this, businesses should be doing this, helping out. That's not always the case. This is an investment from the government in these municipalities. So were there any options he gave you?
He did talk about, you know, he's been a local elected official in Waukesha County, and they did talk about low and no interest loans. The problem with that is that, you know, yes, I mean, it's with the high interest rate environment we have, it is helpful, but, you know, a lot of folks don't have generational wealth. Mm. They aren't large corporations that can get a huge amount up front. And so it really needs to be a mix of both grant and direct support to help entrepreneurs get off their feet, on their feet. And then it also, you know, having those accessible as well is also a role. But I just don't, I don't really get the distinction between tax breaks and low interest loans versus grants as far as why one is okay and the other isn't. And so for us, we really, you know, we don't expect the government to burden all of the risk of a business starting. That's not reasonable, but there are things that the state has done that have proven to be successful that we believe we should be doing more of and not less of.
Yeah,
that- and that's why we decided, frankly, through, you know, these events, you know, we actually, as an organization, with Abby and other leaders, decided to actually endorse State Representative Robin Vining after this event, and we're going to be working hard to help her get elected over the course of the next month or so.
We've only got about 2.5 minutes left. Abby, I want to go back to you for a second. J.D. Vance has said on the stump that as far as childcare goes, we should just have more grandparents filling in that role as child care providers.
Uncles and aunts too, thank you.
Uncles and aunts and, you know, childless cat ladies, they're not doing anything, so they should apparently be watching everybody else's kids. I'm wondering what you hear from parents about how realistic an option that is.
Where do I even start with that? I mean, my parents would love to watch my kids, but they're busy working. They have careers too. You know, you can't just retire like and watch your grandchildren. Not to mention, like, there are a lot of reasons why parents opt to put their children into daycare and preschool settings. A lot of benefits from socialization and early childhood development. So I think those types of comments are hurtful because, of course, everyone, I mean, the name of our business is called The Little Village. Of course, everyone wants a village of family around them to take on that type of support. But that's A, that's not accessible to everyone. And B, that's not necessarily the path for everyone. So not a solid policy choice.
Well, and as you said, I think you made some really important points there, Abby, just about the socialization that that small children get in those settings. And isn't that where you kind of give them the basics of sharing? You have to share the coloring book. You have to, these are the basic things. These are the rules that we kind of follow when you, before you get, this is what you're going to need when you're going to school, when you finally get into school. Abby Gilman is the owner of Little Village in Wauwatosa, and Sean Fetteplace is with Main Street Action Pack. We will get links in our show notes to both of your group, Abby, your business, and Sean, to the Main Street Action Pack. Thank you so very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Stay with us. Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot on the way next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us. Call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk hates that we continue to call Twitter. She joins us once a week. You've been getting moved around an awful lot lately, Brittany, so thank you for being so accommodating. It's time for Weather and Wine with Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. That is her actual name. Thanks so much for joining us, Brittany. I want to start off first with Hurricane Milton, because now from what I just saw within the last 20 minutes, it's back up to a Category 5.
Yeah, so this thing keeps growing in strength, weakening in strength. The eyewall keeps rebuilding. You know, it's a powerful, powerful storm. No matter what category it makes landfall, it's going to do pretty much the same amount of damage. So just keep that in mind as this is barreling towards and it's downgrading. Now, as I'm looking at the model runs, it does widen, it does dissipate, it does want to weaken as it hits shore. I mean, we've got dry air out there. We've got wind shear out there. Those are two things that work to kind of tear a hurricane apart. So it is going to be tearing at it, which is going to grow its size, But all of that water from the ocean is still going to be forced in that surge right at those shorelines. So still a very, very devastating storm. Plus, they've got debris from Helene still that hasn't been picked up and can be thrown. And it's just so many things. And you think about the rain, too. When you take sand and you saturate it, it becomes hard. And then where does it go? It piles up and up and up. So flooding, tornado warnings ongoing right now. I mean, one just crossed I-75.
Yeah.
We've got more warnings off towards, you know, it's sad.
Brittany, when Helene was coming towards, or not us, but coming about to hit, that was all we were talking about. And within 48 hours, they were talking about Milton. Are there any other storm fronts coming along? Anything else that's following Milton that we should know about?
Yeah, or potentials.
Yeah.
There actually is. There's some potential out in the Pacific. This is where this one came from, right? We never thought at all that those two disturbances would mix together and form Milton. And now we're looking off to the Pacific like, okay, what could happen next? So, I mean, we are still in hurricane season. That disturbance is not the best back there. And those waters are warm. So fuel for these things.
Yeah, that is the biggest driver of these increasingly damaging heavy rain, high winds. It's fed by the warm ocean waters, which is due to climate change. Sorry, folks, but that's just the reality of it. And I was seeing some reports yesterday, too, Brittany, about 15-foot storm surges.
Yes, that is going to cover buildings in Tampa Bay or Fort Myers or wherever the maximum surge goes, Sarasota area. That is scary. And then, yeah, you mentioned, we're not in El Nino anymore. We're transitioning from El Nino to La Nina. So you can't even blame this on an El Nino pattern. This is straight climate change.
Really quick question. I'm sorry to divert for a moment, but is it a binary thing where we're in El Nino or La Nina, or is there times when we're in neither?
That's what we're actually right now. We're just kind of in a neither.
Let's stay here. Let's stay right here. Yeah.
Oh, seriously.
Well, we certainly send hopeful wishes and safe thoughts to people in Florida. If you can evacuate, I hope people are evacuating. It would be just tragic. This is going to be, and they said the same thing about Helene. In many instances, this is not survivable. This kind of storm surge is not survivable.
Yeah. No.
This is a situation where you can send thoughts and prayers, but you can also help. You can go to civicmedia.us/help.
Yes.
It's got a bunch of organizations you can donate to. Go there, make yourself heard, give what you can, help those who are in need. Go to that website and give blood.
And get blood. Andrew. Andrew in the live stream just said he's got to go. He's going to go give blood. So Red Cross.
Good. I'm giving tomorrow.
You are good for you. Yep. Excellent. All right, Brittany, let's talk about weather here. We've got it perfect. It's been perfect. Except it's been dry, but my goodness, other than that.
It's perfect for summer in October.
Yeah.
Seriously, why are we hitting 80s on Friday? Well, it's because Milton actually kind of pushed that jet stream a little bit. So we've got a little bit of warmth here, dry conditions, high pressure holding still, unfortunately. So low to mid-70s tomorrow. Mid-70s to 80 degrees on Friday. Then that cold front moves in, bringing small chances of rain by Saturday night. Mostly north, but a good chunk of us will see it. And then by Sunday, highs in the 50s. Guess what? Guess what, Sunday night? The further you live up north, the closer you are to Lake Superior, those temperatures are falling so low. With rain coming off the lake, I could be flipping over to some flurries. The first of the season.
You're the only one in this room who's enjoying this, whereas I'm like today is shorts, tomorrow's sweater. The next day is put chains on the tires.
This is what meteorologists enjoy. Yep. Well, this is also what they live for.
This is also living in Wisconsin.
Exactly.
That's just what
I'll take flurries for
yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
No big deal.
Exactly.
And in the time we have left, they're changing the way that we call wind chills. Wind chills? What is this?
Yeah, so the National Weather Service is changing the terminology to cold weather advisories or extreme cold watches or warnings. It's going to be basically the same darn thing, to be honest with you. It's just simplified to really try to get everyone to understand what's happening. But for me, I think it's a little bit more confusing because I used the wind to explain why it was going to feel colder. So I'm going to keep using it, but the National Weather Service won't.
Well, I also, it just sounds like it's the wind chill, whereas like, oh, my bones are cracking.
Right.
Like
right.
Cold advisory, cold warning. That sounds like stay inside.
More serious.
Wind chill sounds like I'm gonna have some cocoa.
Well, you know, okay. Once we privatize the whole National Weather Service all these problems will go away, and all the weather problems will also go away. So yes. Don't worry about anything.
No.
Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, joining us for a little weather and wine. Thank you so much, Brittany. We will talk to you next week.
Have a good one. Thank you, guys.
News is coming up next, and we're going to wrap up the show with this shouldn't be a thing, voter fraud edition.
Oh, boy.
Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder that next Wednesday, a week from today, is the deadline to register to vote in Wisconsin online or by mail. So go check your registration. Do it right now. Don't wait. Go to myvote.wi.gov. It'll take you all of 30 seconds to find out if you are registered to vote. If you are not, it will take you to where you need to go to do that. Yes, you can vote. You can register to vote the day of. I would encourage you, we would encourage you to do it beforehand.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a much longer day for you.
Yes.
If you wait to register the day of. So why don't you do it now? Go to myvote.wy.gov so you can vote on November 5th. And by the way, the constitutional amendments that will be facing Wisconsin voters, vote no.
Vote no. We believe you should vote no.
We believe you should vote no. So does the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. We will put their link in our show notes, and you can always find those at civicmedia.us. Just go to shows, click on Matt Nair on Air, and that has every single episode since the beginning.
Of time.
Since the
time,
beginning. Time, since the time. Beginning of the year. All right. We're going to lighten things up a little bit for the last half hour. Kamala Harris has been making the rounds on media.
Oh, she is getting way busy on.
She's been busy, and a couple of them have certain heads exploding on the other side of the aisle. She was on the Call Her Daddy podcast. Calvin, can you explain what the Call Her Daddy podcast is?
Resident young person.
Yes, resident young person.
Yeah. So the Call Her Daddy podcast was, I think it started in like 2016, something like that. It was started by two young, like college-aged girls at the time. They're obviously older now.
Right.
It started off as kind of like the girl equivalent of a bro podcast.
Gotcha.
They talked about their sex lives and dating and
relationships
and that kind of thing. The original two co-hosts have split up and it's just the one now.
But she's very popular.
She has become very popular. She now she does interviews with she's had actors, she's had reality TV stars, she's had business people, she's had a bunch of different guests. She also was a part of the Olympic coverage during NBC. I think she played a small role in that. So yeah, she's really popular.
She reaches a big audience. She does, and especially for younger women, I would say women under the age of 35. And this Alex has quite a following of females under the age of 35. She doesn't normally delve into politics, but she did have Kamala Harris on this week. And among one of the things that they were talking about were tampons came up with her discussion with Kamala Harris. And I'm assuming it's about having tampons available in schools for girls, because this can be an issue. And John Kennedy, Republican from Louisiana, very upset that they were talking about tampons, because he's telling you that no one affected by Hurricane Helene gives a hoot about tampons. And I'll tell you what, Mr. Kennedy, this happens once a month to ladies. And if your house has just been wiped off the face of the earth and you have your period, yes, they're thinking about sanitary products and where they can get them. That's a thing.
I think he's got his thought process there wrong. It's not that the people who are affected by the hurricane don't care about tampons. It's that hurricanes don't give a crap about your period and need for tampons. Therefore, the need is important, and we need to talk about these things. And John Kennedy needs to shut up.
He went to Yale, didn't he?
Cool deal. So did George W. Bush.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, Mr. Kennedy.
So did J.D. Vance.
That's very true. That makes him so elitist. Doesn't that just make him elitist?
I thought they were the common man, Jane.
Yeah, Kamala Harris also appeared on retired NBA players Matt Barnes and Reggie Jackson's podcast called All the Smoke. And I think the outrage about her being on Call Her Daddy, when I haven't seen anyone even react to her being on that typically sports podcast, is evident of just misogyny. That's really the only explanation.
Two women talking about things. How dare they?
And one of them is a woman of color, too.
Oh, that's even worse.
My goodness.
Well, Kamala Harris also stopped by Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Do we have a clip of that, Greg?
We do. We have a clip waiting for us. Please play that clip, Calvin.
When you first became the nominee and named Tim Walz as your vice president nominee, people were calling it the vibe election. Everybody, all the vibes were all good. But elections, I think, are won on vibes, because one of the old saws is they just want somebody they can have a beer with. Uh-huh. So would you like to have a beer with me so I can tell people what that's like? Okay. Now, we asked ahead of time, because I can't just be given a drink to the Vice President of the United States without asking. You asked for Miller High Life. You asked for Miller High Life. I'm just curious.
Okay, the last time I had beer was at a baseball game with Doug. So,
okay, so cheers.
Okay,
there
cheers.
There you go. Ooh. That tastes like the beautiful city of Milwaukee,
the
Wisconsin.
The champagne and beers.
There you go.
All right. So a couple of things about that. First of all, she had my vote before. Now she super has my vote, because High Life is probably my favorite go-to beer. I like a lot of other beers.
Right.
But on a hot day or a simple day, or you're going to a bar and you know you can't stay long, you could have one High Life. You're good. You're going to be good. Stephen Colbert's comment on the great city of Milwaukee, if you don't remember, sometime back we talked about this.
He got in trouble.
He got in some trouble in 2020 when he made fun of Milwaukee, and I was actually very upset about it, because he had reduced Milwaukee to the barest of stereotypes. And I'm like, dude, you're not from New York or from Los Angeles. You're from South Carolina. You lived in Chicago. You know the Midwest. So he made an apology. He made an apology video. He went to Milwaukee. So I think him saying that was him saying, I'm still sorry, Milwaukee.
Please forgive me.
Let us enjoy one of the greatest exports of your fair town, a Miller High Life.
So the question is, which politician, living or dead, would you like to have a drink with? And what would be the drink?
Yes.
It can be a beer.
Yeah.
Maybe something non-alcoholic.
Yeah.
Which politician, living or dead, would you like to have a drink with? And what would the drink be? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter.
If you want to take part in Democracy 2 as well,
you can vote.
Go to Civic Media. I'm sorry, not Civic Media. Well, go to our website. It's pretty cool. Go to our Twitter page, because in this house, we call it Twitter. Go to Matt and Air on Air. That's MATENAER on Air. Follow us on Twitter. And then go to the post we have with Stephen Colbert and Kamala Harris. In the below tweet of that, there is a poll showing choices. You can either pick PBR. I'm sorry. Well, you'll pick PBR, High Life, Spotted Cow, or other. If you pick other, let us know in the comments what the other would be. It, like Jane said, it could be a cocktail, it could be some tea, it could be some coffee, water,
anything,
anything at all. But let us know. You want to have a drink with the VP? And right now, let us know who would be your politician of choice, living or dead, you'd have a drink with.
This has always been the thing. Which candidate would you rather sit down and have a beer with? Which, yeah. Who would it be? Who would it be? Living or dead?
I know who mine is.
Anybody?
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Greg, we will start with you.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Bully.
I would just be like, hey, buddy, how you doing? Because I just feel like he had a lot going on in his brain. He wanted to accomplish so much. Plus, I wouldn't do much talking.
You just listen.
Oh yeah, he was a chatty teddy. He talked a lot. He had a lot of energy. There was an old saying that if you look at his paintings of him, his hand was always balled up in a fist, and they believe that was like the kinetic energy he was trying to hold in.
Wow.
He just went all the time. He had
100 miles an hour. 100
miles
an hour.
Yes, he always had something to do. He had always some place to go. He had always a thing he had to accomplish. And they believe that his hand was balled up in the fist because he was just trying to hold in everything.
Wow.
You can imagine that? A guy like that sitting for a painting?
Oh, no.
No.
Not someone with that amount of energy.
No.
Which politician, living or dead, would you have a cocktail with? 855-752-4842.
There you go. We got Dave from New Berlin on the text line. Said Barack Obama, cognac.
Ooh,
that's a fancy
nice little snifter.
Does that include like a special, like a robe, like a drink,
a satin smoking jacket?
Exactly.
Calvin, who would your pick be?
Well, I guess I would want it to be someone that I could maybe have potential to actually have fun with. So
John Adams, got it. All right. No.
I don't know why. Only because she's relatively young, and I know she played a video game online in the past. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I think, would be a fun time.
Yeah.
I would agree with you.
Oh, and by the way, it doesn't have to be like a president or a congressman or a senator. It could be like honestly, someone who popped in my brain, Katie Rosenberg up north, former mayor of Wausau, who hopefully will be mayor once again or something else, because she looks like a great hang. She looks a lot of Fran Hong. Francesca Hong. Absolutely amazing.
We'd have a drink and tater tots.
Oh, my good gravy. But yeah, it doesn't have to be a famous politician. It can be someone who means something to you.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
But let us know. Kevin in Wausau, listening to us. Thank you very much. George Washington, brandy, old-fashioned, sweet with cherries.
With cherries. Love it.
I can imagine George Washington's response would be, I like this.
Sherry from Horicon would like to sit down with Abraham Lincoln and have a root beer float.
I was hoping Sherry would say she wanted a glass of sherry with.
Not everybody likes sherry.
I've never had it.
I worked at A&W Sherry. I can make that float for you. Paul from Madison listening on WMDX, Spotted Cow.
Okay.
And with Kamala.
Okay.
Spotted Cow with Kamala. Who would be your choice? And again, it doesn't have to be a nationwide politician. It can just be somebody in your own community. Who would you like to sit down and have a drink with? What would the drink be? 855-752-4842.
Andrew from Maine trying to score some points here, saying I would have a drink with the queen of civic media, Jame Matinere.
What would we be drinking, Andrew?
You're drinking... Oh, he didn't say.
Oh, we'll leave that open.
There you go. And Tony Zimmerman, look at this guy being all nice. The retired politician, Pat Kreitlow, seems like a kind of cool guy.
Nice.
Nice work there, Tony.
Nice little in-house love.
Scoring some points.
Appreciate that.
Old-fashioned, obviously, Tony says. Yeah, these are great suggestions. I would totally, George Washington would be interesting. It would take a lot for me not to ask questions that would thoroughly upset him. But, you know, some of his farming practices.
Well, yes.
There you go.
Yes, I understand that. I've been thinking about it, too. I would like to talk to Ann Richards, who is the governor of Texas.
Yes!
I think that would be a really interesting conversation. And with her, I want to do a shot at tequila.
No. With Ann Richards, you don't do a shot of tequila. You did two shots of tequila.
Yeah, one tequila, two tequila, three tequila, four.
Exactly.
Yes. Who would you like to have a drink with which politician and what would you be drinking? 855-752-4842. Matt from Richland Center on WRCE. Calvin took mine. Why is he always right? I'll take Henry VIII then, and we're going to drink mead.
Okay, and then I hope you can run away because you're going to say something that will anger that man. Oh, my goodness.
Someone listening on WCFW, I'd like to have a mimosa with Sarah Godlewski.
Oh, who doesn't love a good crisp mimosa?
Sure, that works.
That's tasty.
Mark from Prairie du Sac on the line. Good morning, Mark. Who do you want to sit down and have a cocktail with, and what would that cocktail be quickly?
Yeah, first of all, Moo Subaru for you, Jane, on the whole Subaru thing.
Thanks, Mark.
It's Thomas Paine, and I'd like just regular beer and discuss the Age of Reason and the Rights of Man with him. Two publications that he wrote that predate some of our social programs of today.
Mark, elevating our silly little segments the way you do, Mark. Thank you for that.
Thanks a lot. Now I got to read.
But you do give us something all to aspire to. I'm also thinking Alexander Hamilton. I want to see how much he looks like Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I'm going to give you a clue.
I'm just curious.
Nothing.
Stay with us. This Shouldn't Be a Thing is on the way next. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, call or text same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Just a little heads up, we have a very, very busy show coming up for tomorrow.
Yeah.
At 10:33, Lisa Schiller is going to be back from the Better Business Bureau. And we're going to talk about debt collection scams and what we need to know to protect ourselves. And I always think, especially when Lisa talks to us, there's so many older folks who end up getting scammed. They have landlines.
Yeah.
They still answer landlines. And so I encourage you to listen tomorrow so you can tell your parents about this stuff and what they need to look out for. So Lisa Schiller tomorrow from the Better Business Bureau talking about debt collection scams. Alexander Vindman had to reschedule.
Yes.
He was supposed to join us before. Alexander Vindman, of course, who had some really compelling testimony during the first impeachment trial of former President Trump about trying to extort Ukraine, essentially withholding weapons and aid that had already been approved for them to start conducting a bogus investigation into the Bidens to help his election.
This is a major player in this.
Big time. Alexander Vindman will be joining us tomorrow at 11:06. Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company at 11:30. And then, of course, wrapping it up with where we are right now. Calvin, it's 11:53 and time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it in to Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Today's This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Election Fraud Edition.
Ooh.
Former Republican U.S. Representative Mike Rogers of Michigan, who is now running for the U.S. Senate, has a house in White Lake Township that's been demolished. The one bedroom that they shelled out almost $300,000 for has become a question of focus about his residency in Michigan. Because he claims that that's where they're living and that's where he registered to vote and there's no house there.
Maybe it's like a really super tiny house.
No, it's not a tiny home. Yeah, no. He had been living many years in Florida.
Yeah.
That was his dream place after he served as a representative.
Like Ron Johnson.
Like Ron Johnson.
Yeah.
bought his dream home in Florida.
Yeah.
Then decided, oh, I want to run for the Senate. So he came back. And again, he and his wife purchased the one-bedroom, 728-square-foot home for $295,000.
I don't think I've ever had an apartment that small.
And then they knocked it down. And it's still, there's no building there. It doesn't have an occupancy permit.
What is this giving you vibes of? It's a rich guy, sunny state living, going back to another state where he doesn't live, trying to become a senator, likes to knock things down.
Tommy Tuberville?
No. Eric Hovde.
Oh. Eric does have a house here in Madison, though.
Well, that guy has a house in Michigan.
but Eric Hovde's house actually has walls and things.
Well, yeah, but I don't know.
I mean, this is lacking. It's a slab. There's a slab there.
It's a camping.
Oh, they camp there.
You can camp there. Put your tent down. Live with nature.
Yeah, I just, you know, we hear so much, particularly from one side, about voter fraud and who is casting illegal ballots, on and on and on. Let's not forget Alabama Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville. Under scrutiny, following reports, he sold his last remaining properties in Alabama and now lives at his beach house in Florida. Hmm. Also, as I was just looking for others, remember this? Mark Meadows.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Meadows, Republican. He and his wife bought a mobile home and registered there weeks before the 2020 election. This mobile home in Macon County, he had never lived in or even ever visited it. The North Carolina Department of Justice decided there was not sufficient evidence. So I guess when Republicans say, oh, there's voter fraud, we have a few examples.
Well, and also somebody was coming. People said, like, well, why do you always like come down on the Republicans so hard? Why are you taking sides? We're on the side of democracy. And what they're doing is anti-democracy. They're just making the rules as they go along because they want what they want.
Trust me, if there was a Democrat, if you have a Democratic example of this, send it to me.
Yeah.
And we'll include that.
Yeah.
I have no problem going after Democrats who are doing bad things. Hello, Gold Bar Bob Menendez. I don't have any problem with calling them out.
Yeah.
If they exist. So send me the examples, please. I would welcome them. I would absolutely welcome them.
Yeah.
But this should not be.
This, Calvin.
This shouldn't be a thing.
It should not be. It's naughty. Shaking my head.
At least just buy a house. Like,
well, put up a tent.
Buy a whole
put
house.
Put up a tent or
if
something.
If you can afford $300,000 for a one bedroom.
For us that you knocked down.
Just rent a nice apartment. All right. It doesn't have to be a house.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. Thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. News is coming up next, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2 p.m. Stay with us all day long. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.